We're going to have a look today at what it means to be people who trust in Jesus, but also want to serve him and stay true to what Jesus has said, which is not an easy thing all the time. I don't know if you've been caught up maybe at work or at home in debates in the last week about what's been happening in Sydney with the marriage vows. Has anyone heard about that debate in Sydney? A few people, some people. The Anglican Church in Sydney has decided to just rewrite the marriage service and change a few of the words in it to reflect more about what the Bible says about marriage. And so they've included words in the wedding vows that follow along from Ephesians chapter 5, which says, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so it's very clear in Ephesians 5 that husbands have to sacrifice themselves for their wives. That's the sort of attitude we've got to have as husbands, that you give your life for your wife. And in the same way, wives are to submit to their husband's leadership. If you've got someone who loves you that much that they're going to sacrifice their life for you, then it's easy to submit to their leadership. But of course, the media sort of picks up generally on one side of the story. And as soon as they heard that word, submit, isn't that a terrible word? And it became, well, women aren't as on the same level as men. And so there's all sorts of problems and a big stink kicked up by that. And there was a fair bit of ridicule flying around. You know, the church is stuck in the old, in the dark days of male domination and it shouldn't be like that these days. The church has got to keep up with the times, surely. And there was a fair bit of ridicule flying around, and it could have been very easy for people to be ashamed at that point of what they believed in. To be ashamed of the truth that's been passed down to us. To be tempted to water down what we think and go with the flow. Now, as we read 2 Timothy, we see that we can't do that. Paul is saying to Timothy, you've got to stand true for the gospel. Stand true to the gospel, and you've got to stand firm for what we believe in the gospel. See, Paul is a great missionary. He's been preaching the good news, been spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, been convincing people to trust and put their faith in Jesus, giving their lives to him. And he's passing on the baton now to Timothy. He's saying, this is your ministry now. You've got to preach this gospel. Continue to preach the gospel that I started. So have a look in verse 13 and 14. It's sort of a link between last week's one and this week. He says, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. See, there's a couple of times in this passage says, what you've heard from me, do something about it. Do this with it. First of all, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. And we know the gospel that Timothy had heard from Paul. We had a bit of a taste of it last week, didn't we? Look back in verses 9 and 10 of last week. We saw that the gospel is about a God who saves us, a God who calls us, a God who's done that because of his own grace. Nothing we've done, but because of God's grace. And a God who, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has destroyed death and brought life and immortality. Paul has been very clear with Timothy what the gospel is. And now he says, that gospel, make sure you keep the pattern of sound teaching that I gave you. Follow the blueprint. You know, when you're a builder, you get the plans from the architect. And the architect says, you've got to follow these plans. Follow the blueprint for the building. And Paul's saying, I've given you this gospel. Follow the blueprint that I gave you. Teach them as I taught you. But Christianity is not just about teaching a set of beliefs. It's not about just knowing things in your head, is it? Christianity is more than that. And so what does he say in the second half of that verse? He says, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. As we teach, as we live, it's got to be our relationship with Jesus that is important. It's a truth about Jesus. It's not just lecturing about a religion, it's living the truth. Living the truth that we know to be true. So the first thing we've got to do is to keep the gospel. Paul says to Timothy, keep the pattern of sound teaching that I passed down to you. But the second word he uses is guard. There in verse 13 he says, guard this good deposit that's been given to you. guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And that idea of guarding something, he's talking about protecting it. You see, there is plenty of opportunities to change, as Paul was talking about before, changing what's been passed down to us, watering it down, softening it. Maybe you can think of ways that the gospel would be improved. You know, if we just said this, then more people would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we just softened it up a little bit, just watered it down a bit, then maybe more people would become Christians. But Paul is saying to Timothy, don't do that. Guard it. Protect it from being changed. Now, when I want to guard something or protect it, we've got it in my study, if you haven't seen it, a big safe. I don't know when the church put it in there. They decided it was a good thing to put in the study in the minister's house. They put a big safe in there, a dirty big mongrel safe. I can't even rock it, let alone move it. And so I'm never going to get out of there. But if I want to guard something or protect it, I'm going to put it in that safe. Because that's a great place for it to be protected and never changed. Is Paul saying, lock it away, this gospel, so that it's never touched, so that it's never changed at all? Well, he's not. He's saying, actually, what you've got to do is pass it on and entrust it. Look in chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Pass it on. Make sure they're reliable teachers who are going to keep the pattern and guard the truth and pass it on. When I was a kid, KFC wasn't called KFC. It was called Kentucky Fried Chook or Kentucky Duck or something like that. But Kentucky Fried Chicken has 77, what are they? Who knows? Secret herbs and spices. And that was their big advertising campaign, wasn't it? They had 77 secret herbs and spices. They had this pattern of cooking chooks. And you knew that when you went to KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, you were going to get chook that tasted this same way, the standard way. This pattern was passed down so that it was always kept the same. But ultimately, the 77 secret herbs and spices were a secret that wasn't to be released to the public, because otherwise they might take that recipe and make money out of it for themselves. It was 77 secret herbs and spices, not to be released. It's the same with Coca-Cola, isn't it? Do you know the recipe for Coca-Cola has been kept secret for how is it, 100 years or so, however long it's been around. It's been kept secret from the public so that we can't copy it. And they're saying you can taste this, you can enjoy it, but you can't have the secret. Well, the gospel is different. Paul says, taste it, enjoy it, pass it on. Make sure that everyone hears about it. Everyone's to know exactly what the gospel is, but keep it and guard it. Make sure it doesn't change. Now, we're not talking about protecting customs here, religious customs, okay? The ways that we do things. We're talking about guarding the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is truth that we must pass down. You can't change what Jesus said or what Jesus did. We might change the way we do things, and we do change the way we do things, but we can't change the truth. We had a lady at Back to Church Sunday last week at the West, and I was talking to her during the week, and she said, I really enjoyed church. She said, but it's very different to what I remember. She said, it's a lot more relaxed than what I remember. And I was thinking, that was at the West, you know. Like, they're a lot more relaxed. Imagine if she came here. See, we can change the way we do things, but we're not to change the truth about things. This is different to a group like the Freemasons. You know, the Freemasons have their customs that are guarded and protected and kept secret. You're not allowed to know what happens in the Freemasons unless you go and join the Freemasons. And then you can be part of the club, the secret society. But they're protecting customs that they practice religiously. We're protecting the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. We may do it in different ways. Next week we might do church differently. You might go to the Baptist church down the road and they'll do church differently. Yeah, go to the Prezies or the Unitings. They'll do church differently. The customs are different, But the truth is to be guarded and kept as the pattern of sound teaching. How's Timothy going to do this? This is a big task, isn't it? To keep something from being changed and from being ruined. Well, Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He's actually just given us two examples of people who've done different things. We had, what are their names? Phygelus and Hermogenes in verse 15. They haven't stayed strong with the truth. They've deserted Paul and they've gone off to other places. And we've got Onesiphorus in verse 16. He has stayed strong. He has not been ashamed of knowing Paul and of knowing the gospel and of keeping that going. But Paul says to Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong." It takes strength of character and conviction to be able to stand up for what you know to be true and not let anyone change your mind on that. It takes strength to stand your ground against the flow of popular opinion. Where do you get this strength from? Second half of verse 1, he says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The strength itself comes from the gospel, from knowing that there's nothing that we do to deserve our salvation, but that God is working in us and he's giving us the strength to carry on. We need to be strong Christians. We need to be strong to stand against popular opinion. So I don't know if you saw Late Line, was it? No, Q&A on Monday night. And Peter Jensen, the Archbishop of Sydney, was on that program. I didn't see the whole thing. I sat down, I watched about 2 minutes, and then I woke up and it was finishing. I missed it all, fell asleep. But what I've seen of it and bits and pieces of it during the week, he just stood strong for the gospel. He didn't get upset. He didn't rant and rave, but he stood firm. He knew the truth and he stood firm for the truth. We need to be strong for the gospel. And Paul says to Timothy, you're going to need to be strong because you're going to face opposition. You're going to face hardships and you're going to face suffering. Look at verse 3. He says, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops." Interesting verses. They give us three images of people who are standing in hard times, who are going through hardships and suffering in order to achieve, to win the prize that is there for them. And Paul says, endure hardship with us. He said it back in chapter 1, verse 8. If you look back then, he says, join with me in suffering for the gospel. These are the same words in Greek. Endure hardship with us. Join with me in suffering for the gospel. Exactly the same. And we know that Paul himself at this point is imprisoned and he's waiting for execution. That's the sort of hardship and suffering that Paul's going through. He's about to have his neck separated, his head separated from his shoulders, isn't he? We know that Paul knows what suffering is about. And what he's saying here to Timothy is, join with me on death row. Be prepared to die for the gospel. Now you've got to be strong, don't you, to face that sort of opposition? Christians were a persecuted minority at that point. And he gives us three pictures of what this strength and endurance looks like. First of all, there's the soldier. He says, do it like a soldier. Endure hardship like a soldier. The soldier here is not distracted, you notice, in verse 4 there. No soldier serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. He's not distracted from serving. Even the hardships and the struggles that the soldier has to go through won't stop him from serving his commanded officer. He's determined to achieve the goal, to do the job that he has to do, even though things might be pressing in on him, even though he might suffer for that. So Paul says, be like a soldier. Don't focus on your own self-preservation. Put aside those distractions and work hard for the gospel. Get the job done. Be determined to get the job done. Or he says in verse 5, like an athlete. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Now, an athlete has to discipline themselves and their body in order to compete to the according to the rules. Anyone can cheat, can't they? Anyone can take the easy path, and a lot of them do. A lot of athletes will take drugs to help themselves. Instead of training, I'll just take drugs because that'll make it easier. Instead of doing the hard yards and suffering in training. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about that walking race they have in the Olympics. That's just a painful-looking race, isn't it? Imagine having to walk like that. You've got to really, as an athlete, you'd have to discipline yourself to be able to do that and do it for such a long period of time. That takes a lot of self-discipline and determination to stay within the rules. Anyone can run. Anyone can cheat. But you've got to be self-disciplined to conform to the rules. So Paul's saying, when you face suffering, don't take the easy way out. Be self-disciplined to stay within the guidelines. And there is victory at the end. There is the victor's crown that we awarded to athletes who can do that. And then the last picture we have is of a farmer, the hard-working farmer in verse 6. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive his share of the crops. See, the farmer's going to work hard, aren't they, to bring about a good harvest. They're going to battle everything that's against them, the elements, the wet, the dry, the heat, the cold, the feral pigs, the weeds. The farmer's got to battle all of those in order to bring about a crop, to bring it to completion. And Paul says that's the way we've got to, as Christians, be ready to battle everything that comes against us, all the things, all the hardships that are going to come our way. We've got to battle against those things in order to get the job done, to pass on the gospel, to entrust it to others, to keep it, to guard it, pass it on. And he says you've got to keep at it. Despite the hardships, the farmer's dedicated, isn't he, to get that crop in, to get that crop grown, to receive the reward of the harvest at the end. He's going to battle anything, feral pigs, weeds, doesn't matter. He's going to battle those things because they're determined and disciplined and dedicated. Now think about your own walk as a Christian, about your attitude. When it comes to the truth and the truth of the gospel, are you determined in your fight to keep to the truth of the gospel? Are you disciplining yourself to keep to the truth of the gospel? Are you dedicated? Which one of those images do you most need to learn from? The soldier, the athlete, or the farmer? I was thinking about this as I was thinking about the inviting people to back to church Sunday last week. Great opportunity. And I was thinking about my own experience with that. I was determined. This is an opportunity that God had given us. And so I was determined, like the soldier is determined to serve my Lord and not let this opportunity pass. But, you know, I didn't actually get around to inviting everyone on my list. So I might have been determined, but I needed a bit more determination. I was disciplined for a bit. Oh, on and off, I was disciplined. Now, I prayed for my friends when I remembered to, and I got out my green sheet every now and then to pray for them. But I needed more discipline in that. I was dedicated to get the job done. I'd planned out when I was going to ask different people and how I was going to ask them. Well, I got around to asking 5 out of 7. I was dedicated, but not quite enough. I've got something to learn from each of those pictures. What about you? What can you learn from the soldier, from the athlete, from the farmer? Paul says we've got to endure hardship for the sake of the gospel, in order to keep the truth, in order to guard the truth, in order to pass it on to others. We've got to have that determination, discipline and dedication. But notice he says endure hardship with us. And we can see Paul's example here. Look in verses 8 and the ones following that. Look at what he says. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he'll remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. See what's happened? Paul knows what it means to suffer for the gospel because he's been there and he's going through it right now. He's chained up. But the great news is that the word of God is not chained. You can lock up the messenger, but you can't lock up the message. Paul is being chained up. He's on death row. But he knows that the gospel he has preached is going throughout the world. People are being saved. And he knows that it's not about what happens to Paul that matters. It's about Jesus. He says, remember Jesus, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is the gospel. And this gospel is not chained. And those last last few verses there, give us in a nutshell what he's been saying. If we died with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. There are great rewards for staying faithful through suffering, for staying true to the gospel, for keeping the pattern, for guarding the truth. There are great rewards. If we died with Jesus, we will live with him. Immortality. Who's immortal? Put up your hand. We had this question last week. You should all put up your hand. Because Jesus has given us immortality. If we died with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. Great rewards for staying faithful through suffering, but there's also, on the other hand, the consequences of falling apart under the pressure. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, well, he'll remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Those who give up will be disowned. If we're faithless, God will stay true to his word. He'll stay faithful to himself and his promises and his warnings. And we need to keep that in mind. We can't just play around with this. We need to be faithful to God right to the end. Well, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. The picture of those three are of three who are dedicated, determined, disciplined. They're going to get the job done. They're going to hang in there till the end. They're going to do whatever it takes to stay true, despite the sufferings, despite the ridicule that comes. How about you? We can be very distracted, can't we, from being faithful to the gospel. We can be tempted to water it down. We can be tempted to soften it so that, you know, it doesn't look like we're as crazy as people think we are. What about you? Are you going to remain faithful to the end? Are you going to stay true despite all the suffering, despite all the opposition? Are you going to be the soldier, the athlete, the farmer that God's looking for? Let's pray. Father God, we do face opposition to the gospel. We know that people don't like sometimes to be challenged by the truth, and that we can be tempted to water it down. We can be tempted to change bits and pieces here and there. Lord, we know that there is ridicule around for those who will stand up for the truth, and that sometimes we face that ridicule, that opposition in our own lives, in our own family. Father, I pray that you would help us to remain true to the gospel. That you would help us to have the dedication, the determination, the discipline to stand true. Father, please help us to never deny you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.